Hello and welcome to this edition of DEcast. My name's Rob Bagby. I'm a developer evangelist for Microsoft Corporation. In this edition, I'm going to address a question I've received more than once recently, which is about what's the best way to expose errors from your RESTful services. And we'll extend it a little bit and talk about how can I handle or catch errors if I'm the caller of these RESTful services. And so we'll kind of hit both sides of that. So what I've got is a little sample service, a RESTful service using our WCF stack here, which has one operation, and this operation returns a page of wines. So I've got a wine catalog, and I want you to be able to return wines 1 through 20 or 1 through 10 or whatever out of the full set of wines. And so you can see I've got my operation's name is Get Wine Page, takes in a start index, so that's wine 1 through and the page size of 20, and I've defined to be RESTful, to kind of put this in context, one of the core tenets of REST is to embrace the protocols of the web, including HTTP. And so from that perspective, we want to use the appropriate HTTP verb. So we've decorated our service with a web get, meaning we're exposing this as an HTTP get. You can see that I've set the response format initially to XML so we can view it in the browser easily. And I've got a URI template that essentially cleans up the URI to my service. And here you can see I've mapped down these two arguments into query string parameters for my URI. Now, you can see in this service, I'm just calling into a little database layer that does the actual work here. And that's unimportant to how we're going to be exposing these exceptions. The real kind of salient part here is by default, you can see here, I'm just throwing a run-of-the-mill .NET exception, application exception. And I want to start off here by showing you, if you don't do anything else, if you don't do anything RESTful here, what happens? I want to show you the default behavior because this is actually kind of interesting. So you can see I'm just throwing a .NET exception, but that might have been an exception that got thrown from this get wines that got bubbled up. The other piece to this service is the SVC file, and the interesting piece here is the factory. I've started off by using the system.servicemodel.activation web service host factory. And as you hopefully know, that this is the configurationless model, meaning we don't have any configurations in the web.config under system.servicemodel. This factory is essentially setting up the web service host, and behind the scenes is setting up the appropriate binding to be the web HTTP binding and the endpoint behaviors to be the endpoint behavior to be the web HTTP endpoint behavior. If all of this is foreign to you, worry not. I've outlined all of this in my blog. I've done a 10 plus blog series as well as maybe 10 screencasts as well that illustrates what all of this means. We're assuming a certain level of knowledge about REST, so I'm not going to go into detail here, but you can go out to robbagby.com and get all of that detail if you want to. So suffice it to say, we've set up our RESTful service, and right now, by default, we're throwing an application exception or a typical .NET exception. I also have a client app that I want to point out to you, but let's go ahead and see what this app looks like. Start with what the service looks like to start with, just calling it from the browser. So I'm just going to bring up a browser here, and we're going to go ahead and enable logging from Web Dev Helper. And if we make a call with an appropriate value, you can see we just got back our appropriate payload, and we got back an HTTP 200. But if we go ahead and pass a negative page size, a page size of negative 1, we're going to see that we got this HTTP 400, which means bad request, which, as it turns out, is actually pretty good. This actually was a bad request, and that's what I would want to throw. Interestingly enough, though, we've been very passive here as to the HTTP status code that's going to get thrown. We've let the system dictate what the default status code is for an application exception, which, as it turns out, is pretty dangerous. And let me prove that to you. Let's go ahead and change our factory to be a new factory that's shipped with the WCF REST Starter Kit. And so we have a new factory that affords us some additional capabilities, and it's a factory that I typically use. And so when I started first putting this screencast together, I assumed the internal server error was going to be 500 for both, but much to my surprise, it was a 400 using system.servicemodel .activation web service host factory. But if we change it over to the new service host factory, web service host 2 factory, everything else being equal, if I go ahead and run this again, we can see that an HTTP status code of 500 was returned. And that's a valuable lesson for us. You don't want to be passive about which status code is going to get thrown because somebody may choose to change the default. So we need to be able to be explicit about what status code is going to get thrown. So before we jump into how to do that, let's take a look at our client code, because we have a WPF client application. And so I've got a little button click event handler here. All I'm doing here is setting up the appropriate URI to my service fully with the URI template. Down here you can see I'm just doing a little synchronization work. This code's running both for Silverlight as well as WPF, and so this allows me to tie back into that UI thread. I'll address Silverlight at the very end here of this screencast. And you can see here I'm just creating the request, setting the method to get, and then I'm calling asynchronously, passing back response callback as my callback method. In response callback, you can see here I'm calling end get response. And if everything works out well, then we're just going to go ahead and post to extract response, where I'll just take this hopefully JSON stream and deserialize it using the data contracts JSON serializer. And once we do that, then I'll go ahead and do some data binding. Now we know we're throwing an exception, so let's see where we're going to capture that exception. In my callback method, you can see I'm catching the exception right here, and I'm just calling the base exception, and then I'm writing that exception message out to a message box. And we're going to actually change this out in just a little bit. So let's go ahead and run our client-side code and see what it looks like by default. So let's go ahead and we'll prove that it works with a viable number of 16. Oh, that was good that we proved that, because we disproved it, and we need to change our format to JSON, because we're using a JSON data contract JSON serializer to deserialize that. So let's run it now and prove that it works. And everything's good, and the bind worked fine. Now let's run it with a bad value. We'll do a -1, click fetch, and you can see we got our internal server error of 500. And so that error came across because we're using the second factory from the REST starter kit. We got back the 500 internal server error. And if we look at it in Fiddler, you can see we got that 500 internal server error. So let's go ahead and switch back. I want to start with using the system, the original web service host factory, and then we'll move back into that into the starter kit service host factory. So using this, what was one of our options for being very explicit about what the exception is, as opposed to throwing an application exception? What I could have done and should have done was to be explicit and set the status code on the outgoing response. So I need to get a reference. From the web operation context, I can get a reference to the current outgoing response. And so by doing that, I can then set the status code on that response. And so I just need to get a reference to the outgoing web response context. We'll just call it out response. And we'll just format that appropriately. Now for this outgoing response, I can say outResponse.statusCode equals a web HTTP, or excuse me, HTTP status code dot bad request, and be explicit that I want this 400. And we can go ahead and just set return there. And this will be very return null. This will be very explicit about setting that status code. And so if I run this up from my client application with a -1 again, regardless of what the factory I chose, I'm going to get a 400 bad request. Now, the challenge is we've told the caller, hey, you made a bad request, but I may want to pass some additional information telling them, hey, why was this request bad? In this case, the page size was it has to be greater than 0. So I can do that using an artifact of the new WCF REST starter kit. So if we change this factory over to Microsoft.ServiceModel.Web, changing back to Web Service Host 2 Factory, I now have the ability to essentially set or throw a new kind of exception. And so this new exception is it's called a web protocol exception. And in here, I set the appropriate HTTP status code. I'm explicit about the status code I want to throw, as well as I can throw a message. So I can say something like page size must be greater than 0. And I think it wants an inner exception. I'll just set that to null. And now I'm able to pass that message, and that message is going to get this error message or detail is going to get serialized to the appropriate response format. And so because I've defined my response format to be JSON, the response body will contain this page size must be greater than 0 JSON formatted. And so let's go ahead and call this from our WPF client again, running it. And let's go ahead and say -1 again. We'll call the fetch. Now our exception we're seeing is, again, just the generic bad request. We had the appropriate HTTP status code, but we didn't know what the actual detail was. Although, if we take a look down here in Fiddler at the raw response, the actual detail was explicit. We did get that message in the response body, and it was serialized to JSON, remembering that this type had one property called detail that exposed the actual detail. Well, we can actually capture that from our client application. And let me show you just how to do that. Inside of my response callback, as opposed to catching the base exception type, I could have caught a web exception. And we'll just say WE. And inside of here, the web exception exposes a response. So let me get a reference to that. And that response we're going to use in a couple ways. One, I can get to the status code. Secondly, I can use that to go ahead and get the response stream. So I can call get response stream, and that's going to get me that response stream that contains the JSON serialized data that I wanted to get to. Now I can use the data contract JSON serializer to deserialize that. And so in order to do that, I new it up. And when you new it up, you pass it the type you want to deserialize to, remembering that in Fiddler we had that one, the type had one property called detail. Now I went ahead and created a type called error detail with a public property of detail. And we're going to go ahead and use that as our type that we're going to deserialize to. And let's go ahead and just push this down to this line so we can see it on the screen. And now I can just deserialize to my error detail. And we'll just say serializer.read object, passing it our stream. Now we should have that error detail. So I should be able to just, again, write out to the screen. We'll do this just for ease of use. And we'll just say the status of what the status code is, and then semicolon, and the detail is, and we'll just say that. And then we'll just say status, which we got earlier. And then we wanted we need to do a string.format, excuse me. Got a little bit ahead of myself. Status, and then here we wanted the error detail dot detail. And we should be good to go. So we've essentially just, we're writing out to the screen what the status was, as well as the error detail, and we've just formatted it appropriately. So now if I run this up, again, everything's going to work if I pass in an appropriate value, but if I pass in an inappropriate value, I should see status of bad request detail page size must be greater than 0. So we can see, and I should have after that I should have went ahead and hit run a return. So we'll just go ahead and do that, and now everything will work just appropriately. So what you've seen here is we need to be explicit about the exception that we're throwing or the status code that we want to set when an exception occurs from our RESTful services. So we can do that in one of two ways. We can either get a reference to the outgoing web response context, and by doing that we can then set the status code on that, or we can throw a new web protocol exception, which is an exception that was made available to us through the WCF REST Starter Kit and Microsoft.ServiceModel.Web. And given the web protocol exception, we can actually set the error detail that will get serialized appropriately for us that our client can then read and get an understanding of. Now, from a client perspective, we just catch a web exception, and then we just get a reference to the web response. From there, we can get the status code as well as the response stream. And from the response stream, we can just deserialize to any type that exposes a detail property. And then we've got our error detail, which we can use in conjunction with our HTTP status to know, hey, was this a success or a failure? And if it was a failure, why it was a failure. Now, that's all of that information is great, and that all works well for WPF as well as other clients, including our AJAX clients. However, from Silverlight, because of the plugin model and the way Silverlight, the Silverlight networking stack is written, this doesn't work. So, because the actual HTTP status code is hidden from Silverlight, so what is returned is an HTTP 404 under all circumstances. If you want to understand what your options are in Silverlight, please go ahead and take a look at my blog, and I have actually a URL out to a blog posting from a gentleman on the Silverlight team that tells you exactly what your options are. So you can go out to robbagby.com, take a look at my blog post, and I'll forward you over to Eugene's blog post, which details what your options are and everything that you can do from that perspective. Well, I hope this was helpful to you. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to send me mail. You can go out to robbagby.com and get me mail from there. Thanks a lot.